Well, Jim Jr. is our co-host on the broadcast today. And Jim, we're going to be talking with David Dolan in just a moment. Now, I understand you guys have a history dating back a couple of years.
Sure do. Dad, 1984, I was in Israel and met David Dolan, and we shared equipment, we shared thoughts, we shared a life together.
We even shared some meals.
They even shared some meals. I'm sure both of you were probably starving to death at that time, and you were happy to have any kind of meal. David,
that's true.
Is that about the time you joined CBS Radio?
No, Jimmy, I was still with the Moody Radio Network then, IMS News, from 84 till 86 or 7. It was only a little bit later, in 88, that I joined CBS.
Well, we are sure glad that you have been consistent over the years and have knowledge about that part of the world that is so significant as we come to the table with issues. Let's do that right now. David is going to give us our Middle East news update. David, talk to me about the intel chief in Israel saying that 170,000 rockets and missiles are aimed at Israel.
Yeah, every time we get an update from Israeli military intelligence, the numbers have increased. We started out after the 2006 war when the Hezbollah militia force, which has the bulk of these rockets that he was speaking of, they, you know, had most of their weapons destroyed in that war. But President Shimon Peres said 2 or 3 years later they'd already gone up to 40 or 50,000 rockets alone. And, of course, Syria has its own arsenal, and there are rockets in Gaza, obviously. We just had on Friday another red siren alert go off near the Gaza Strip, some explosions heard in the area. And in fact, in all of January, Jimmy, that being the last day of January on Friday, this would have been, I believe, 13 rockets that have been fired at Israeli targets, two in Eilat, four aimed at Ashkelon, several aimed at Ashdod, and some other places, one, of course, landing not far from the farm of Ariel Sharon just minutes after his funeral ended. That was an obvious slap at his supporters and family, coming just minutes afterwards. These all blamed on Islamic Jihad, which is backed by Iran. But that is a staggering number of rockets. A tiny country, again, the size of New Jersey, one of America's smallest states, and it has that number, 170,000 rockets aimed at it by opponents that are, in the case certainly of Islamic Jihad, Hamas, and Hezbollah, absolute fanatics, Islamic fanatics. So they're going to use those rockets, in other words, and they don't worry so much about the response because that makes them shahideen, they say. That makes them martyrs for Allah. So they're jihad warriors, and the Israelis are, again, continuing to prepare for the possible use of these rockets at some stage.
David, in that list of peoples who have rockets aimed towards Israel, you mentioned Hamas, and it looks to me like Hamas is seeking to boost its presence in Jerusalem, according to Shin Bet.
Well, that's right, and we've had Al-Qaeda also in recent weeks. Three Palestinians linked to Al-Qaeda arrested plotting suicide attacks on the U.S. Embassy and in the Binyan HaOma Hall in Jerusalem, where the Christian Embassy holds its annual celebrations, and other public places. There were agents, Al-Qaeda agents from Russia. We don't know of what ethnicity, but they were going to come in as tourists and join the local Palestinians in carrying out these attacks. Hamas is totally opposed to the peace process. The warnings from Jerusalem before John Kerry got this whole thing going a year ago, Secretary of State, was that it would probably increase Hamas activity and terror attacks because the tensions connected to the peace talks and the fact that the talks are unlikely to succeed. Even President Obama told a magazine last week they only had a 50-50 chance of success, and a poll this week by Channel 2 in Israel, Jimmy, showed that 87% of the Israeli public believe these talks will fail. Only 7% gave them a successful chance, and the rest didn't know. So the Israelis are not convinced at all, and Hamas is taking advantage of this. And, Jimmy, this goes along with something else I heard this week from a friend of mine that's well-connected to senior Israeli political, government, and security leaders. He told me in person that the prime minister and his comrades are becoming increasingly convinced that the Obama administration is out to topple the Netanyahu government. You will recall in 1999 that this is exactly what Bill Clinton did to Netanyahu, who was then serving his first term as prime minister. The Oslo Accords called for Israel to pull its forces out of Hebron. They had pulled out of other places. Netanyahu was stalling because terror attacks by Hamas in particular escalated in Hebron. An Israeli Jewish baby girl was shot dead in the arms of her father. You may recall that incident in Hebron. So Netanyahu said no. Finally, Clinton strong-armed him. He said yes, and his coalition fell apart over that. Well, now we have tensions rising in his new coalition between Naftali Bennett, in particular on the right, and Tzipi Livni heading these negotiations with the Kadima Party. And once again, his coalition looks like it could fall apart over this issue, all being pushed on him by the United States when there's very little chance of success. It looks to many people increasingly like Obama's decided we're going to get rid of Netanyahu, and that's making a lot of people in Israel very, very angry.
Yeah, absolutely. Even those who may be opposed to Netanyahu would get the hair up on the back of their neck over this particular issue. And you're talking about the Obama administration with John Kerry coming in and trying to bring together the Israelis and the Palestinians as it relates to a peace process of some type. The plan by Kerry has been leaked, and I think, David, it's saying that they're going to give a portion of Jerusalem to the Palestinians for their capital and allow the Jews to keep some of the Jewish settlements. And because of that, there are a lot of demonstrations taking place, one of them at the Western Wall, a massive demonstration saying to end all peace talks right now. Talk to me about the peace talks.
We do have to recall that Prime Minister Netanyahu has made abundantly clear that his red line is Jerusalem. He's not going to allow the Palestinians to set up a capital inside of Jerusalem's municipal boundaries, it being already the capital of Israel, that it's just impossible that the two share it as a capital. That doesn't happen anywhere else on earth successfully. Nicosia is an example of a still divided city in Cyprus between Turkey and the Greek Cypriots. That's his red line, but of course the Palestinians are still saying that they won't allow any of the settlements to remain. So this may be the U.S. proposal, but it's the same proposal that was put to Ehud Barak and Yasser Arafat after Bill Clinton succeeded in getting Netanyahu out of power the first time, and he thought Ehud Barak would be the man to deliver some of the Palestinian leadership, and Arafat said no. So that was the same case in 1993, the original Oslo Accords with Yitzhak Rabin and Arafat. So why it should succeed now doesn't appear to anybody as obvious. And again, that's why there's growing suspicion that there's an ulterior motive here amongst the Obama administration to divide the Israeli government. Tzipi Livni is the only one, and her small Kadima party is the only party that believes that this peace process might succeed, Jimmy, and that it's backing it. The Likud is skeptical. Bennett's party on the right is skeptical. And even the centrist Yesh Atid, there's a future party, is somewhere in between, but leaning on the skeptical side. So, but it still could be enough to cause the collapse of his government and new elections, and which I think Netanyahu would easily win, but it would just be a waste. But more concerned to the Israelis, Jimmy, is that this will spark off another Palestinian uprising. We've talked about that before. Moshe Yaalon, the defense minister, has warned of that several times, and others have as well. So it's increasing tensions for no obvious expectation that there will be a positive outcome to this.
One final thought with you, David, if you will. Let's make it about 30 seconds. We're running out of time here. The Israeli Defense Force Chief of Staff has said no matter who wins in Syria, Israel is going to lose. Should the opposition win, that's going to be a radical Islamic leadership. And should Assad win, well, his partners, Russia and Iran, are going to cause him to have to go against Israel. What are your thoughts?
And meanwhile, we heard from the U.S. that they're reneging on their commitments to destroy their chemical weapons. Only 4% have even been delivered yet for destruction. It's supposed to be about 40% by now. They're 6 weeks behind. Syria's an enemy. It's going to remain an enemy state. Apparently, it's going to remain with chemical weapons, and Israel will just have to deal with that reality.
This is why we have David Dolan. Jim and I started talking with David, teasing a bit about the times they spent together way back in 1984. That's how long David Dolan has been in the Middle East, his vantage point, the city of Jerusalem, and he's able to give us insight that we need to have as it relates to the Middle East. David, always a joy to be able to talk with you, my good friend. Thank you so much, and we'll talk again next week.
Thank you, Jimmy, and get well.